Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Now, the aunt of missing teenager Nora Quarin says her niece is a very special person. She's fun, funny and extremely loving. Aideen Agnew's words come at the end of a six-day search for 15-year-old Nora in a rainforest resort around 70 kilometres south of the Malaysian capital, Kuala Lumpur. Police are now focusing on where Nora, who has special needs, was before she disappeared, including the house where she was staying. However, they've scotched reports footprints of the missing girl have been found. Barry Lenehan is here with me, and you've been speaking to the family, Barry. What are they saying this evening?
They're heartbroken and distraught, but they're extremely thankful for what they describe as the phenomenal support they've received thus far, including from local tribespeople in Malaysia. However, the Lucy Blackman Trust, a charity which supports people in crisis overseas and is supporting Nora's family, warns efforts need to be ramped up in the days ahead, with the search now set to enter a seventh day. Nora Coron's father, Sebastian, is French, and her mother, Maeve, is from Belfast. And they're extremely keen to focus on Nora as a person, what she's like, who she is, so people know the girl in the photograph. Here's Nora's aunt, Aideen Agnew.
Nora is a very special person. She's fun, funny and extremely loving. With her family, she's very affectionate, and family is her whole world. She loves to play games like cat bingo with us. She likes to tell us silly jokes and wear clever, colourful t-shirts. She's not like other teenagers. She's not independent, and she doesn't go anywhere alone. Nora was born with holoprosencephaly, and this means that she has a smaller brain. All of her life, she spent a lot of time in hospital. When she was born, she needed operations to help her breathe. She has specialists that monitor her growth, her physical abilities, and her strength, and especially her mental capacity. She's always needed dedicated specialist educational provision, and she now attends a school for children and young people with learning and communication difficulties. Nora and her family are bilingual and bicultural. Nora is very proud that she can speak French as well as English, but her verbal communication is limited. She can read like a young child, but she can't write more than a few words. She has a good memory, but she can't understand anything conceptual. She's unable to do maths, and so things like money are impossible for her to manage. She can't make or receive phone calls independently. She can wash and dress herself, but she can't manage buttons, and she would struggle to wash her hair. At school, she's learning to ride a bicycle properly. Nora likes to walk with her family, but her balance is limited, and she struggles with coordination. She has been to Asia before, and she's been to many European countries, and she's never wandered off or got lost. Nora is very sensitive outside the family. Nora's very shy and can be quite anxious. And every night she has special time for cuddles and a nighttime story with her mum. And she was just extremely excited about spending time with her family on a holiday in Malaysia. That's it.
Aideen, thank you so much for that. Matthew Searle, the chief executive of the Lucy Blackman Trust, is providing support to the family. And Matthew, if anybody wants to help at this time, what can they do?
Yes, of course. People wanting to help the family can do so in two key ways. The most important is sharing our appeal. Our Twitter feed at Missing Abroad and the Facebook page at LB Trust have all the latest appeals and posters in multiple languages. I ask anyone, please share these wherever you can, but particularly with any friends, colleagues or contacts in Malaysia. And secondly, you can donate to help to the family. A dedicated page is set up on GoFundMe. Find Nora Corin and also linked to from our pages. I'd just like to thank everyone for the phenomenal response so far, but we do need to keep this up and we need to ramp it up further. If you can help, please do. Let's do everything we can to bring Nora back to her family.
Matthew Searle there, the chief executive of the Lucy Blackman Trust. Before him, Aideen Agnew, Nora Quarin's aunt, speaking to Barry Lenehan. Barry is still with me. What's the latest, Barry, in the search for Nora?
There were reports yesterday, there were reports of the missing footprints of the missing girl had been found, but at a press conference earlier, police rubbished this idea. But police say they're now refocusing the search back on the place where Nora went missing, including the chalet where her family were staying. Here's Negeri Sembilan Police Chief Sheikh Zakaria Othman.
Day six, we have almost covered 6 square around the missing place. Now we are almost all the places within the 6 map square already been checked. And then we are now focusing in getting any information which can we go back to the place and pinpoint to exact spot, any of the exact spot around, including the buildings, the chalet around, to recheck again. We doesn't have any exact spot yet.
Mr. Othman was also asked whether the windows of the building where Nora was staying could be opened from the outside. He said they could if they were not locked from the inside. Malaysian police have also rejected criticisms of their approach to this investigation. Asked whether the immediate area around where Nora went missing should have been classified as a possible crime scene sooner, they said a thorough investigation was conducted as soon as permission was granted. They also batted away the idea roadblocks should have been in place last Sunday when Nora went missing, saying a missing alert for the 15-year-old was put across social media as soon as her disappearance was reported.
But Barry, you know, tomorrow is 7 days since Nora went missing. Recap, you know, where are we in terms of this investigation now?
This time last week, Nora was ready for a holiday. She was very much looking forward to, as her aunt told us a few moments ago. On Saturday, Nora and her family arrived at the Dusan Resort near Seremban, around an hour south of the Malaysian capital, Kuala Lumpur. The Dusan is a 5-hectare resort in the foothills of a mountain range and next to a forest reserve. Sunday at 8 a.m. local time, Nora's family discovered her missing and her bedroom window open. Monday, Nora's family say they believe she's been abducted, as she would never leave them voluntarily. However, police in Malaysia think different, ruling out foul play in the girl's disappearance.
And what happened from there?
Tuesday, police intensified their search. A helicopter, 2 drones and 214 people from several government agencies all examined dense jungle searching for Nora. Wednesday, more resources deployed in the search for Nora, with canine units and underwater specialists drafted in. Police also say around 20 people have been questioned at this stage and Nora's hotel room swept for fingerprints. Now, rather than rule out foul play, police say nothing has been ruled out at all with regards Nora's disappearance. Thursday, a familiar voice in unfamiliar environs. Recordings of Nora's mother calling her name blare out in loudspeakers in the hope they might draw Nora out if she's in the jungle. However, police also say they've received no positive leads in the investigation. So today, day 6 of searching at an end, Nora Coron's disappearance still a missing persons case, but families still say foul play. Tomorrow, police say they'll expand their search, but bad weather is expected in Malaysia with downpours and thunderstorms. A 7th day of searching for Irish teenager Nora Coron.
Barry Lenehan, thank you very much.